But dear God, we are new covenant people trying to live in an Old Testament way. We need to live in a new covenant way. The promises are better. He's the guarantee. There's a lot of Old Testament scriptures for healing. But you know what? The New Testament scripture make him real. The word do, he says, ask. You know what the word ask means there? It says, if you ask anything in my name, the word ask means demand something that is due. That's what it means in the Greek. Demand something that is already due. So when I ask the Father of something that is due, it's not something that I deserve, it's something due. It's due to me, glory to God. Hallelujah. People say, how can you be confident praying for healing? Because it's due. Hallelujah. You call it honeydew, you call it whatever you want, but it's due. It's due to me. So I'm not praying for healing. Well maybe, Lord. Well, if it be thy will, Jesus, you know, if the stars are all lined up the right way and we do everything absolutely well, Lord, you know, if it be thy will. People that have to ask the Lord if it's his will shouldn't be praying. Hallelujah. Why? 1 John 5:14 says, if you ask anything according to my will, I will grant you that which you have prayed. We got to find out the will, then we pray. We don't pray to find out the will. We pray because we know the will. Amen. I know it's God's will to heal. He said, we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall... Hallelujah. And the word recover just doesn't mean your physical healing. It means recover your finances you lost because you were sick. It means recover all, recover everything. I got 10 years attached to the end of my life. I'm going to recover. Hallelujah. I'm recovering. We shall recover. The word do. Well, I know it. I'm French, so I got to go find out the simple words. Do. You know, the Lord will do. So I went, Lord, what do you mean by you do? So I went and searched it out. I know I'm not a great theologian, but I want to know for sure what he meant by do. He said here, he'll bring it forth, cause it to come, continually deal, without any delay, execute, exercise, fulfilled. He'll ordain it. He'll perform, provide, purpose, put, raising up, and secure. So I know, might sound simple, the word do, but if I ask anything in his name, it's secure. I don't have to perform it. He'll perform it. My God, I'm having fun. It's an easy, you know the word's been preached here because it's easy to preach in. Hallelujah. Then in John 15:16, just turn the page over. Whew. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It says in John 15:16, and ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever, everybody say whatsoever, I shall ask the Father in Jesus' name, he may give it to me. Woo. So if I ask what? Anything in Jesus' name. Who's going to ask? Whosoever. Whosoever means you. And the Amplified Bible says, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. I've appointed you. I have planted you that you might go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that your fruit may be lasting and that it may remain abide. So that whatever you ask, amen? Oh, we got to ask. We have not because we ask not. We got to believe God that God's will is for us to heal. Can I share with you a few more things? I was, you know, when God started revealing to me healing, it came unusual. I'm sitting in the meeting. I'm in Pastor Vince's church at Christian View in Halifax. And all of a sudden, Don Carpenter's up there preaching. I don't know if anybody here knows who Don Carpenter is. But Don Carpenter is... he's really in the woods. My God, you got to go out of the woods to go hunting. But anyway, Doug Carpenter was there preaching, and the Lord says, he says, there's 5 people here tonight I want to heal of asthma. I said, thank you, Jesus. No, he says, I'm telling you to tell Vince There's five people here who come to heal of asthma. And I'm on vacation. I got my t-shirt on, my pair of jeans. I'm not the special guest speaker. I told the Lord, I said, did you look at the bulletin, Lord? I said, I'm not the speaker here tonight. I'm on vacay. You know, you're telling me there's five people, you come here to heal of asthma, you tell Don Carpenter, he's got the mic. And so there I am sitting in church, and you got to know Pastor Vince. Ooh, Jesus, I didn't want to fall out of line. I'm telling you. And so I'm there, and the Lord says, there's five people here, I come to heal of asthma. And I said, tell Don. I ain't saying a word, Lord. You better tell Don Carpenter, because my lips are shut. He said, there's five people. He says, if you don't tell them, they're going to go home and they're going to stay sick. And I went, dear Jesus. So I listened to Don. It was the longest service of my life. It felt like it went on and on and on. And Pastor Vince grabs the mic and he says, we're going to close in prayer. All I noticed, my hand shot up in the air. I went, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then I went, oh, no, 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 no. He said, what? I said, the Lord told me he's going to heal five people of asthma in this place tonight. And so he said, well, you folks got asthma, come to the front. Six people came up. I said, Jesus, I missed it. You said five, there's six. You know, the devil starts talking to you. Says, you're looking like an idiot now. You said five, six came to the altar. Well, there's five people that did get healed of asthma that night. What I didn't know, there was a Baptist boy that was sitting in the church that was 18 years old, was born with a deformed heart. He had the body of an 18-year-old, but the heart of a 70-year-old man. The doctor said he wouldn't live past his 21st birthday unless he had a heart transplant. And so the little Baptist boy sitting in the church says, well, he said, I did the math. He said, if God can heal five of asthma, he can heal one heart. So then all of a sudden, I prayed for the people, and five people got healed of asthma. The week after, I was invited to preach. Well, they kind of opened the door. Hallelujah. So the door was open. I showed up there. Here comes this young boy with a flyer in his head, with a medical file in his head. Pastor, pastor, pastor. I said, what? He says, you got to look at this. He said, the doctor has diagnosed me of having a brand new heart in my body. Ever since that, the Lord gave me an anointing for hearts. I do. There's some things the Lord anoints you to do. There's a baby that was born, my cousin, had a hole in her heart. Hey, when I went to Bible school, everybody called me, this is what I believe. That was my nickname. They'd say, here comes, this is what I believe. Here comes, this is what I believe. Here comes, this is what I just told everybody, this is what I believe. How many of you know sometimes it can be more doubt in Bible school than faith? So anyway, I got baptized, this is what I believe. But every time they had a need in chapel, they got, well, this is what I believe to pray. So anyway, my cousin calls me, she's at the IWK. Baby's going to go for open heart surgery. Doctor's going to try to close in the hole in her heart. I said, before he does, do you mind if we pray? Laid my hands on that baby, began to declare that Jesus would heal that heart. Doctor opened up that baby to do open heart surgery, closed her back up. Came back to the mom, he says, we don't know what happened, but he says, there's brand new flesh forming on the inside of that heart. And that baby absolutely healed. But you know that baby, that lady with the womb, that the baby didn't have a heartbeat, the first time she got pregnant and gave birth, I dedicated her first baby in Rossay, and they lived in Kapolei, and her father's a Newfie, and so a Newfoundlander. And when they came to Rossay for me to dedicate the baby, and she's married to my cousin, so they came to Rossay. I dedicated the baby. The Lord told me, he says, lay your hands on Ernest. He says, I'm going to heal his heart today. in the middle of a baby dedication, I put my hand on Ernest's heart, and I didn't know. I said, I just declare that your heart will beat to the very rhythm of life. The life of God flows in your heart and all your arteries. I said, sir, I don't know if you have a problem, but God's healing your heart and making it well. Well, I came back. He came back, called me up. He said, Pastor Brian, he said, my heart is healed. He says, you did not know, but he says, my heart was in bad shape. And he says, I got healed that night when I dedicated that baby. Isn't God good? Yeah. Glory to God. So I'm just telling you, if you, no need of you leaving with a bad heart tonight. I know the great physician can fix that heart up, right? You know, and then I got an uncle. You know, when we first got to Capilea, I got an uncle. Is it all right if I shared stories? Is it building your faith? We're going to lay hands on people in a few minutes. My uncle, you know, wasn't serving God. I decided I'm going to do a healing school. I'm going to teach on healing for 10 weeks in Capilea. I don't lay hands on people usually when I do healing school till the fifth week. Why? I make people hear the word before we lay hands. Sometimes because, you know what, even Brother Hagin would tell people, go sit down. When your faith is there, come back up. We'll pray for you. And I think sometimes, you know what, and so we just let faith build up. And so my uncle needed a quadruple bypass in his heart. Quadruple bypass. He had 4 blocked arteries. And so when he was 39, he had a heart attack that damaged the bottom part of his heart. And now he's 52 years old and he's diabetic and he says his arteries are collapsing and all kinds of things are going on. And so anyway, the doctor said, he said, we're going to have to operate on you and we're going to have to give you a quadruple bypass and we're going to have to bypass those blocked arteries for you to have a normal life. And so anyway, he comes on Tuesday night because our Bible studies back then were on Tuesday. So he was going to go Wednesday for the procedure in St. John's, New Brunswick. And so he comes and we lay hands on him and we pray. Something happened between Tuesday night and Wednesday morning. He went for the procedure. They put dye in you to find out where all the blocked arteries are. They shot the dye in him. They said, sir, get off the table and go into the room. Doctor's going to go talk to you. So he thought, oh, my God, it's too bad. They're not going to be able to operate. So they brought the piece of paper. I got it in my office. I'm going to frame it and put it. Between Tuesday night and Wednesday morning, there's 4 arteries that grew in that man's heart and bypassed every blocked artery in his heart. Now that's creative. That's a creative miracle. And the bottom part of his heart that was damaged and not working anymore from the heart attack when he was 39, my God, don't do anything halfway. He caused an artery to go right to the damaged part of that heart, bypassed the blockage, went right to the dead part of the heart. And the doctor said, that dead part of your heart came back to life. That's the kind of God I serve. I don't know about you, but that's the God I serve. He's the great physician. He's the mighty healer. He's the deliverer, the provider. He's my God. He's El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. And so anyway, he's going around with a brand new heart. Hallelujah. God is so good. And some people think that God's not doing anything in our midst. God's doing more than what people learn about. Also, I did another one of these healing schools in St. John, New Brunswick. Oh, this was phenomenal. You know what I told God? I said, God, I'm going to have to see people come out of wheelchairs. God, you got it. I got to see the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to talk. Some people, I wish I could make them dumb, but anyway. some people, I want to see them talk. Glory to God. No, I'm just kidding. Some people talking negative, it wouldn't be good if they were like Zechariah. But anyway, and so this man came in, he was a minister of the gospel, and he was paralyzed from the neck down. And I'm preaching, and so, you know, this was the second time he was paralyzed. He had a stroke and survived the stroke and came back. And then after that, they found prostate cancer in his prostate. They operated on him. A blood clot went to his brain and paralyzed him for the second time. So here he is in the healing school that we're doing, and he's listening. And then for a whole month, I went back. His name was Don. For a whole month, he said, Pastor, he says, the first time I was able to retain anything, he says, you've preached to me for a month. He says, I'm glad I came tonight so I could change the message. That's what he said. He wanted to change the message. And so he came back the second month. I was only doing them once a month. And then the third month, I start watching. The paralyzation was leaving. His hands started going up. And he was worshiping God. On the fourth month, the hands went all the way up. And he was worshiping God. Can I borrow this chair here for a second? Hallelujah. I'm illustrative, I, you know. And so anyway, he's sitting in his wheelchair and the chair is there in front of him. And we're at the fifth month. And so Don is just getting better every month. So I didn't even pray for Don. We never even got to pray for him because everything the Lord does is awesome. And so he's in his wheelchair. I said, everybody, before I do that, he married an atheist woman. She said, Don, if God ever heals you, I believe there's a God. You know, bitter old thing, you know. Anyway, one of them real nice ladies to be living with. I think she was related to Job's wife. You know, anyway. Hallelujah. And so anyway, she was an atheist. She didn't believe in God. And so there he is sitting in his wheelchair. And I said, everybody, let's stand up and worship God. I'm telling you, the place erupted. It erupted. You couldn't preach in there. You'd lost the service right there when he said, people stand up. Don began to push himself up out of the wheelchair. And there he is. And he's going like this. And he's just going up and down. And I'm saying, Don, what's happening? He said, Pastor, just trying out the new legs. Just trying out the new legs. He'd been in that wheelchair for 2 years. I said, Don, let's walk together. And we walked along the front of the church. The place went bonkers. I'm telling you, you talk a praise in the house and a shout I'd never heard in all my life. It was amazing. Woo! God is good. And so then they said, Don said, roll me back into my wheelchair, he says, when we get to my house, he said, and put me in bed like you normally do. So they rolled Don in, put him back in bed, and they put the wheelchair by the bathroom. And his wife said, Don, she says, want me to go get your wheelchair? He said, darling, I think I'll get it myself. And he jumped out of bed. He said his wife fell on her knees. Tears running down her face. She said, Don, I believe there is a God. My God. Don was 78 when he got healed. He died 2 years ago at the age of 86. Had 7-8 years of walking and not bound to a wheelchair. God is good. Hallelujah. But anything we ask in his name. The pastor said this verse of scripture. He says in Philippians 2:9, he says, wherefore God has so highly exalted him, given him a name that's above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things of heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth. What's going to bow? Everything. It's supposed to bow. Things in the earth, things under the earth, the things in heaven. Amen? What's going to bow? I'm telling you, cancer's got to bow its knee. Arthritis got to bow its knee. Every paralysis has to bow its knee. When we come to the name of Jesus, you make your condition say, yeah, I'll bow to the name of Jesus. It don't have a choice. It's got to go in Jesus' name. It's got to leave. It's got to go now. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Things have got to go. Jesus. We've seen people heal of cancer, heal of everything. Now there's people gone on to be with the Lord. People say, well, what if you pray for somebody and they die? You say, next? is it when we're praying and believing for God, the only thing the devil wants us to remember is everybody that died? Why don't we start remembering everybody that lived? Why don't we bring back to remembrance everybody that's made it? Everybody that's come off the... Anybody here ever got healed by the presence of God? If God hadn't showed up in your life, you'd not be here. He got you out of the... I tell you what, he healed you. He delivered you. Glory to God. Well, why don't we start remembering everybody that's got it? Everybody that's made it. Everybody that's well. Well, Pastor, I had an aunt and she believed God and she died. Well, I got an answer for that, but I ain't gonna give it. Listen to me. I got an aunt that trusted and believed. She went home to be with the Lord. But the thing is, you know what the devil said to me, Pastor, after she passed away? He said, "What are you gonna preach now?" I said, "I'm gonna show you what I'm gonna preach now, you filthy thing." I got up the next Sunday and I said, "Turn your Bibles to Isaiah 53 verse 5. I said, "He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquity." I tell you what, my experience doesn't change the word. The word is supposed to change my experience. I tell you what, I like what T.D. Jakes told Oprah. He said, "What do you believe about, you know, same-sex marriage and all this stuff? What's your opinion?" He said, "Oprah, I'm not called to give my opinion. I'm called to speak the word. So when the devil says, 'What are you going to do?' I'm going to speak the word. I'm not called to my opinion. I'm called to what God said. And if God said, 'I shall live and not die,' I shall live and not die and declare the mighty works of God. I ain't called to my opinion." That's the problem. We got too many people's opinions. Not enough word. My God, I'm telling you. We should live. How long should I live? You should live till you pray to die. Well, the Bible says in Psalms 91, "With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation." We had a man that lived to be 102. His name was Brother Lou. Brother Lou was born in Pentecost. You know, and so Brother Hislip and Brother Lou, I remember I got saved in Pentecost. Well, people think people are weird now. They're not as weird as we once were. Hallelujah. And so Brother Hislip and Brother Lou would shake hands. It's almost like you were getting a car started. What do you mean? Brother Hiss will go, "Ooh," and they're shaking hands, and then Brother Lou would go, "Woo," and then it's funny because the spirit get really strong in here, "Ooh, woo, ooh, woo," and I mean it, and then the whole church would go wild. But Brother Lou got saved at 80 years old. Got saved, and at 80, he got his driver's license. He lived to be 102. He lived so old, he had a 70-year-old son living with him. How many know it's time for somebody to leave the nest? Live so old, all your children got the old age pension. Some of you are going to live longer. It's going up to 67 instead of 65. Glory to God. I'll tell you why, I ain't planning on retiring anyway. They put it up to 82. It just gives us something to live for. Glory to God. People get that paycheck and then stop living. Hallelujah. I like, you know what Brother Copeland, he says, he got to be 65 and he says, the devil said, "Well, it's time to retire." He says, "All your children," he says, "are doing good." He says, "Why don't you just hand over the ministry to John and to Kelly and to all your children?" And he says, all of a sudden, he starts falling into it. He said, "Well, maybe I am done. Maybe I was just supposed to raise up my children and give them the ministry." He says, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him. He said, "It's not time to retire. It's time to refire." He's 75 years old. Brother Copeland's 75. And this year, his ministry tripled. Woo! I'm telling you, that's something. He's got a large ministry. His influence tripled at 75. We not got time to retire. We got to refire. Amen. Retire for what? Rocking a rocking chair and wait to die? I don't think so, Tim. We're going to live and not die. Jesus died that we might live. Anyway, don't get me preaching on the retirement plan. What was I talking about? What story was I now? Lou, Brother Lou. So Brother Lou's 102. Brother Lou goes upstairs and he goes to bed. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, he comes downstairs and he has bacon and eggs. And then he goes back upstairs, goes back to bed. 8 o'clock in the morning, comes back down, has bacon and eggs. He liked breakfast. He had it twice every morning. And so his refrigerator was about to die. His daughter, which is 68, she's the baby, says, "Dad, the fridge is going to die." She told me herself, Violet, she told me, she said, "Dad bowed his head at the kitchen table. He said, 'Dear Jesus, let me die before the fridge.'" How many know you had a long life when you're praying to go before the fridge? Well, that's how long we should live. The Bible says our days should be like days like trees. I never see trees at 37 say, "I'm going to die now." 47, no, they're just starting to grow. 57, 67, 77. There's old trees everywhere. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that we should have days of heaven on earth. Amen. Yeah. That's what the Bible says in Deuteronomy. We should have days of heaven on earth. The Bible says, long life. People say, well, the Bible says 70. 70. Who said that? Did God say that or did somebody say that? Sometimes you got to go say, who's saying what? You know, Moses said 120. Well, I think it'd be great if we all live past 120, bless God. Well, oh, Pastor, now, well, you want to live past 120. Well, I'll tell you what, I think it'd be a great testimony, 125th birthday of mine on June the 9th, that I get up and preach the gospel. And say, this thing works. Wouldn't it be great to get up at 125 and say, I'm not deaf, I'm not blind, I can walk. This works. Amen? Well, I'm going to believe for it. The Bible says he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ever ask or think. So at 125, if you're still around, you come hear me preach.